This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Five minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, you're probably ready now for basketball season, I would imagine. You're getting there?
Well, I tell you what, I was thinking as you were coming to me, things I'd rather talk about than that game from last weekend.
Yes.
The last time I had food poisoning, we could chat about that. You know, the last time I had a colonoscopy, we can chat about that if you like.
Yeah, I'm writing it down for notes for later.
Yeah, there's a long list of kind of things I'd rather talk about than those last two bowl games. But in all seriousness, brutal.
Yeah,
just simply. And here, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, here, Brady. To differentiate between those two ball games, you know, one of the narratives we've had for much of this season, when you looked at the losses that Colorado had suffered. And you even throw the Utah game into that, okay? The combined record of those teams was something like, I don't know, 33-5 or 33-6 or something along those lines. Now, the Utah game was very, very ugly. But that was a bully ball game. Arizona's a fine football team. There's nothing special about the Arizona Wildcats. And that's what makes, in my view, this past Saturday much more egregious than the week before. Is that Arizona's a fine football team. They'll be a bowl team, you know, but they're just a middle-of-the-road kind of Big 12 conference football team. And so that's why that was so alarming and disturbing the other night.
Mark, what has been the drop, the difference? Because, you know, even before the Iowa State win, the TCU game was very competitive. BYU game, certainly chances to win. Those were good games.
Georgia Tech,
yeah, to start the season. I mean, it hasn't really, you know, the Houston game wasn't great, but I kept saying, I was like, you know, this Buffs team is not a bad team. They just can't figure out how to get over that hump, and then they do it against Iowa State, and then we have these last two games.
Yeah, if I had that answer, number one, they'd pay me $10.5 million
yeah.
A year, okay? Which they don't, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. I don't know. I can't figure it out. And the only thing, you know, anytime you see these kind of precipitous, you know, falls like this, you start saying, okay, what's going on internally? What, you know, the one thing I wonder about, I do this all the time, unless it's very obvious. Last year with this team, you didn't have to ask anybody who the leader of the team was.
Mm.
It was Shedeur Sanders. It was Travis Hunter. It was Shiloh Sanders. It was Cameron Sylvan Craig. Those four probably more so than anybody else, and then there'd be another small handful of guys. I started here a couple of weeks ago when I sit down with all the coaches all the time and talk about various things. I started saying, you tell me, who's the leader of this team? I haven't had one guy be able to answer that question.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's a real problem. That is a real problem. Normally it falls to your quarterback. That's generally in football how it found. You know, it's John Elway, it's Peyton Manning, it's Tom Brady, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's whomever. You can't say that. Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera sent me a number yesterday. He goes, you got to see this. I think he's already tweeted it out, so it's probably been out there. Caden Salter has started in nine games a season that he started. He has been the leading passer, I think it's only five times.
Wow.
Think about that number for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see that, right? Unless the guy gets hurt. But that has not been the case. So your quarterback has not been very consistent. They move that back and forth. So he's not going to be the guy. And then you start saying, okay, Rod Smith once told me years ago, and I was with Rod Smith, and he got hurt, and I said something about, well, at least he can kind of lead. And he goes, no. If you're not out there doing it every single day, you have to be a guy that performs at a high level. Then you can lead on a football team. If you're just a guy, some guy hanging out, you can't be a leader. Now, he said, you might have good things to say. Maybe guys respect you. But he said, truly being a leader. Well, you tell me, who on this team has been a guy that every week you've said, okay, mark him down. He gets a B-plus grade or above every week. I don't know who that would be.
Yeah, Yeah, just like you said, last year, Mark, you had a lot of good players, but you had the obvious guys, obvious players that you looked to and just said, hey, that's the pulse of the team, both on the field and off the field. You had a handful of those guys. And most teams, you expect that to be the quarterback, and it's just been clunky. You know, what going through as many quarterbacks as he did on Saturday, and now we're going to be asking, you know, is it Julian Lewis the rest of the way through? Ryan Staub comes in. That was rough. It's hard to establish a quarterback, and I never like, you know, benching him with the idea of maybe he's going to come back, he'll learn a lesson. I don't know, but it's just been clunky for this team.
It has. And by the way, you're being kind.
Yeah.
And I like Ryan a lot.
He's
a great kid. But you're being kind, saying, well, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
He completed two passes to the guys with the other jersey on.
Yeah, what was it, 0-for-2?
0-for-2 with the two interceptions.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And, you know, sometimes I think when you see teams and they have these quarterback issues, these carousels, I think because football is such a unique beast, right? It's that position is such a unique place in the pantheon of sports. It's the most important position in sports, period. I don't think there's anything else that even comes close to it, the guy in that position. And so when you don't have that, I think whether it's something that's spoken out loud or it's just inherent, it's probably more inherent than anything else, a team realizes we really don't have a rudder here. If you've got now, you could have a team like that's got just a unbelievably dominant defense, for example, that might have an identity because of that. That can set the tone of the game. But when you've got a defense that's been up and down, you don't have that guy. You've got an offense that's been up and down, and so then everyone's looking around like, oh, I don't know who we're following here, you know. And I don't believe a team can really be successful being a coach-led team. I don't think that can happen. It has to be a player-led team. Teams have to have ownership within the locker room. Then they play for each other. Then they execute. Then they're held accountable. Coaches can't do that. And I think that's kind of what you've got with this squad, is that's the kind of team it is. Now, could Juju become that as he grows into a quarterback? Because he's an awfully talented kid. I think that could happen. But you want to make sure that he's not the only one. You know, think of like, you know, even the, like a Broncos Super Bowl teams when you had Andre Ware on one side and not Andre Ware. Did I say that right? Defensive end.
DeMarcus Ware, yeah.
DeMarcus Ware. You know, Peyton Manning on the other, and you got other guys around. You need multiple guys. But, you know, right now this team, I think, is sorely missing leadership in that regard.
Well, at the beginning of the season, Coach Prime talked about this roster. And, you know, I think a couple of times he mentioned, like, we might be a better roster overall. We don't have those superstars, but we might have a better roster A through Z.
That may be true.
And then you just see this on the field, and a lot of it is the quarterback position, but it's a lot of things too. I mean, defensively, not stopping the run, a lot of those things, Mark.
You know, and the injury thing is played into it. Would they have four scholarship defensive linemen playing last week on the interior? And so they've been hit hard with injuries. We understand that. Linebacker play has not been good on this team. Jeremiah Brown has kind of risen here as of late and playing relatively well. But the linebacking play has not been good. A lot of times when you see the big gashers, it's because of misassignments or misfits from a linebacker standpoint. Gary's pointed out many times there's a way of going under a play and a way of going over the top of the play. And as Gary always talks about it, if you're going to linebacker, and we had Chad Brown on, by the way, a couple weeks ago on a pregame show, and he got talking about this. He said, if you go under the play, you have to make sure 100% I can make that play, because you put yourself in a bad, really bad position. So what they're talking about is there's a shortcut to get to maybe making the gap that you want to get to. And if you're going to take the shortcut, you have to make the play. If you don't now, you've gotten yourself out of position, which leaves an open hole. And that's what teams have exploited here in recent weeks. And it's like, you know, well, I shouldn't even say recent weeks. It's been happening all season long, to be honest with you. A lot of explosive plays against this defense. Well, fellas, let's stop doing that, right? Let's coach that out of them, for goodness sakes. In the secondary, been okay at different times. And so it's not like, you know, last year that defense might have given up some yards and points at occasion. But it was getting to the quarterback, led the Big 12 in sacks. And it forced a lot of turnovers. Well, neither of those are the case this year. And then you're not playing well on top of it. So, no, there's a lot of, you know, as I like to say, there's a lot of stink to go around. And stink's gotten on everybody right now. And And so this is a lot of soul-searching right now. We'll find out here very quickly what this team is going to do, whether they're going to sack their bats and be thinking about the offseason, or they're going to buckle down and start paying attention and taking care of business. Like, you know, that's, and by the way, that then falls on a coaching staff. So teams have to lead themselves, have to be player-led teams, but coaches have to set tones, and we'll see if they're able to do that.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And this is kind of interesting territory for Coach Prime. You know, that first year was just excitement. Didn't really matter what the year looked like, honestly. They won a few more games than what they did the year prior, and that was a success that was celebrated. Last year, obviously, you got to 9 wins. You won some big games. You were in the discussion in your conference. And now this year, a lot of us expected this to be somewhat down compared to last year just because of those big names. But then when you see those kind of losses, this is different territory for Coach Prime. This is definitely more of a, I would imagine there's a lot more fans today kind of hovering over that panic button.
Oh, you know the way this works.
Oh, yeah.
And when things take a dark turn, all of a sudden you get the buzzards are circling above you, waiting for the dead bodies, right? You see that all the time. And so, and that's the way we are in society. And social media feeds into that, where, you know, I've always said we live in a society where either you're a Hall of Famer or you suck, and there's no in between. That's kind of the perception of things. That's how people act. That's how they respond. Well, that's not real. We know that the vast majority of reality is actually in the gray area in between, right? And the fringes are actually the exception, not the rule. But that's not the way that things work on social media, right? So that's what they're dealing with right now. And so, you know, he didn't let anybody talk after the game the other night. I know they've clamped down on who talks this week. In fact, I'm still trying to figure out what kind of pregame interviews I can get, because I'm not sure who they're going to let us talk to. And so it is a new situation. But keep in mind as well, when you think about this, Brady, this is the first time he's ever coached without his sons being there.
Yeah.
And so Shedeur Sanders, who has been a dominant player, a dominant personality, and is the coach's son in the middle of that locker room and has always got a presence. And, you know, I said at one point, it's interesting, I was thinking about going into the season, I thought, this will be the first time for Coach Prime that he hasn't owned the locker room with the extension of himself being in there. Okay? Make sense?
Yeah.
He doesn't have Shedeur or Shiloh in there. They're not there policing a locker room or being an extension of the head coach. You take that out, and all of a sudden now, okay, we all know who Prime is. He's like any other head coach. He's the guy up there on the throne. He's the head of this whole deal. But when he's not in the locker room, like all of us do, right? You complain about your boss when they're not around. Like you, Brady, in your exalted position with your radio station, when you're not there, I'm going to break news to you. Other people are complaining about you.
I knew that was happening. I just had a feeling.
So that's when then, you know, that player-led organization then really becomes important. They say nice things about you. I've talked to many.
Yeah, to my face. But now that you say it, there's an investigation that's going to be needed here. We're going to get in on this.
but you know the way that works.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
You know, right, if you're standing, if the guy, your buddy's dad is the coach or your boss or something, you're not going to say anything bad about your boss or, you know, or the coach next to your buddy who's his kid. But now all of a sudden, now he's there. That, you know, the son's not there, so now it's easier to complain about the coach and what they're doing and how you don't like this and don't like that. That's just part of human nature, and so I think that's probably part of the equation as well.
Yeah, Mark. There's so many questions. We're up against it, but basketball tonight, the Buffs going up against Montana State.
Matt, Bobcats in town, 7 o'clock game. Our buddy Jerry Schimmel's doing radio tonight. Scott and I are on TV on ESPN+. And it's good to have Tad Boyle and the basketball team. Very exciting young squad. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to give us a lot of stuff to talk about all season long.
I love it. Mark, my friend, appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, bud. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. 12:49, the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Time for thanks. We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado. Thanks for listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.